Luke 5, starting at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Thanks, Jake.
Right, that's got off to a good start. So it is Luke 5, as Shane just read, the calling of Levi. Let me just pray before we start. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for this little passage, these five verses that again contain so much of what you want to teach us and tell us. Father, I pray that you will help your truth to go out this morning and for that to happen with conviction. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at these five simple verses today. And in part, they show a very ordinary scene. There's a dinner party with a mix of people eating, drinking, and celebrating, having a good time. But they also relate an extraordinary event, a conversion, an unloved, unwelcome, looked down on man who walked away from his lucrative job as a tax collector, just leaving it all behind to follow Jesus. We also have Jesus, who loved and cared about the wrong sort of people and was happy to mix with the lowest of society. And then we have the Pharisees, the upright and uptight Pharisees, who were convinced of their own righteousness. Sounds like a good story. We're actually going to have a look at all the three different people involved in the story today and what they actually did. We're going to have a look at what Levi did, what the Pharisees did, and lastly, at what Jesus actually did. And the big idea today is simple. Jesus came to bring the good news to everyone who needs it. So let's start with Levi. What did Levi actually do? Well, he knew that he needed, and he accepted the good news of the kingdom of God. Just look back at verse 27 and 28 with me. It says, after this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. So Levi was a tax collector. He worked out of a tax booth, which was usually located near a port or on a main road leading into a town. And he collected taxes. These taxes were like a customs duty that was applied to all the goods and produce coming into a town, into an area for sale. It was sort of like a sales tax, paid by the seller and then passed on to the buyer. Now, Levi would have been the highest bidder for a contract to collect these taxes in this whole district. He would have paid the Romans up front, and then he would have hired employees to help him do the collecting. And then he would try to recover his costs by charging commission on top of the taxes. Now, there was plenty of room for abuse in this system through the flexible valuation of goods and produce coming in. And there was even a lot of outright bribery. So tax collectors and their employees, they were not liked. Levi would have been despised by his fellow Jews. And the Pharisees, well, they regarded him as a traitor, someone who was collaborating with the Romans. So here we have Levi at his little tax booth in Capernaum, which was on the trade route from Damascus to Galilee. And it was here that Jesus met Levi. Now, just try and put yourself in his shoes for a moment. Imagine him standing there at his tax booth doing his job. It might go something like this. It's pretty quiet today. Not much trade coming through. Oh, there go a couple of my old mates. You'd never believe it. I went to school with them studying the Torah. And now they shun me. They won't even look at me. It's as if I'm a leper or someone unclean. The only friends I have these days are other tax collectors. And they're also really disliked, even despised by the Jews, and especially those extra religious Pharisee types. They say that we're all corrupt, that we're just collaborators with the Romans. Even my old friends, some of my family, they stay well clear of me now, and they call me a sinner. Who's that coming along the road? It's that Jesus. He's coming this way. He's the guy who's been really annoying those Pharisees. They really dislike him. I think they hate him. I think they're actually just a bit jealous of all the attention he's been getting. I heard him speak, you know. He's a really interesting guy. He's really different from most of the other religious people. And he's been doing some pretty interesting things around Capernaum. People say that he's healed lepers. And he made some guy who couldn't walk be able to walk again. They even say that he's cast out demons. He's still coming this way. Actually, he's heading right over toward me. I wonder why. I'm not going to be acceptable to him. Here he comes, though. He's looking right at me. It's like he's looking inside me. It's like he's seeing all of me, seeing my heart. It really feels like he cares about me. He accepts me. He loves me. And he says, "Follow me." And I'm filled with joy. My heart, it feels different. And I want to go with him. I want to go with Jesus. And so I do. I do just that. I leave everything and I follow him. And he starts to tell me the good news of the kingdom of God. Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. He did this physically, yes, but he also did it spiritually. He became a follower of Jesus. Levi was also called Matthew, the Matthew of the Gospels, the Matthew who became one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And tradition holds that he spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel, first in Palestine and then in other countries. That's quite a change, isn't it, for this unacceptable, unloved sinner. So what happened next? Well, it tells us in verse 29, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus. An elaborate meal with lots of fine food. There would have been wine and there was lots of company at his own house. And there, celebrating with Jesus and Levi, was a large crowd of tax collectors and other people. These would have been people that had heard the good news and presumably been changed by it. And now they were celebrating with Levi and Jesus. So for Levi, there was no sad grumbling about having to leave his old way of life. No, there was joy and celebration with friends. He was no longer a slave to money or materialism. He'd become a follower of Jesus. We can often fear or actually be quite reluctant to grow and change, even to confront some of our sin as Christians. And we often don't want to just get up, leave everything, and follow Jesus. And I actually think we do this quite often in quite subtle ways. It may be things like, That sermon last Sunday, the one that really niggled me and got to me and showed me that I need to change. I don't want to think about that. I don't think I'll go to GC this week because I don't want to talk about that particular topic. Or it might be, oh, there's that book that a good friend of mine gave me about an aspect of my life that we both know is not quite right. I don't think I'll read it. It's the unspoken reality that I quite like this sin, and so I don't want to change. Or maybe it's just putting things off with it. Yeah, no, I know, I'll get to that. I'll do that. There's no rush. I wonder if our response would be the same. I wonder what our response would be if Jesus walked into where you work and looked you in the eye and said, follow me. Shane, follow me. Paul, follow me. George, follow me. Now, I'm not suggesting we all quit our jobs and become missionaries, but it does raise a really good question that we should think about, and that is, what would I not want to give up if I was asked to in order to follow Jesus? It probably is shown up most easily in what our priorities in life are. What activities are most important to you? What are you most passionate about? If it's not Jesus, then what is it? And I know we are very good at justifying our choices and our decisions. We do that very well. But I think the fact that we actually feel the need to justify them probably says that we know they have more importance than they should have. Levi knew that he needed Jesus, and he left everything and accepted the good news. The good news that Jesus came to bring to everyone who needs it. And Levi certainly knew that he needed it. All right, let's look at the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees actually do? Well, they rejected the good news. And why? Because they thought, we don't need it. We're okay. Let's have a look at verse 30. And it says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with these tax collectors and sinners? So the Pharisees were an influential Jewish sect in some areas of Israel. And they were really strict about keeping the Mosaic laws. And they'd added a whole lot of their own interpretations as well. To the Pharisees, the righteous were to be distinguished from the sinners by human assessment. The righteous held all the right social and racial positions. They were better than the sinners. And the righteous were holy because they followed the rules, they did the right things, they kept the law of Moses as they themselves interpreted it. And the Pharisees were really big on this idea of separation. Separation from sin and sinners. They actually saw themselves as holy because of what they would not do, where they would not go, and with whom they would not associate. Can you imagine what a blow it must have been to their system to have Jesus come along, doing virtually the opposite of all that they did and claiming to be God at the same time? It would have been a humbling thing for these Pharisees to be anywhere near Levi's dinner party trying to keep an eye on Jesus. And they were obviously uncomfortable there mixing with these sinners. Just being near this celebration really bothered them, because these were people that in their minds had to be avoided, to be looked down on. They probably were really worried that even their reputations would be tarnished just by associating or being seen with these people. Let me illustrate how different these two groups of people really were. In Luke 18, we read the story. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you see the difference? It's quite extreme. With the Pharisee, it's I, look at me, look how good I am, look at all the good things I do, the laws and the rules that I keep, look how righteous I am through my own efforts, look how self-righteous I am. But there's none of that from the tax collector. It's just, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. I need you, God, for my salvation. Well, we have both these groups of people here at this dinner that Levi held, and their behaviour was quite different. The followers of Jesus found pleasure in the celebration which Levi put on because they were there with Jesus. They were sinners and they were forgiven. But there's none of that from the tax collector. There's none of that from the Pharisees. They didn't celebrate. They had no joy in Jesus' presence. No, they grumbled as they watched and complained and questioned. They thought they were righteous, but it really didn't seem to make them happy or want to celebrate with Jesus. Even with Jesus right there in front of them, showing compassion, loving the outcast, celebrating joyfully with his new children, the Pharisees could not see that they needed this too. Self-righteousness is an awful thing, and it can be quite a subtle thing. And we do need to be on guard against it in our own lives. There's a common idea in our society that somehow there's this set of scales, and if the good we've done outweighs the bad, then we'll be right and we'll go to heaven. That we can somehow earn our salvation by being not too bad and doing a few good things on the way. Well, I think that would be like saying, to be saved, you have to jump really high. So you jump a bit in life every now and then, and you look around and you compare yourself with everyone else who's jumping, and you think, poof, I'm jumping higher than most of them, I'll be fine, I'll be okay. I'll try a bit harder, I'll jump a bit higher, and then I'll definitely be right. But what if you then learn that you need to jump as high as the moon to be saved? All of a sudden, you understand that no one is good enough. None of our efforts will be enough. It doesn't help that I'm better than everyone around me. It makes no difference. None of us can jump high enough to reach the moon. It's impossible. We need Jesus because he has done it for us. That humbles us, doesn't it? It deflates our egos and our pride in our own achievements. You can understand why the Pharisees struggled so much with this. Their pride, their belief in their own rule-keeping goodness was completely turned upside down by what Jesus said and did. And we too need to hear and believe this good news that Jesus came with. Let's not be like the Pharisees and imagine that somehow I don't need this. I can be good enough all by myself. Well, lastly, let's have a look at what Jesus did. Jesus loved with compassion, and he gave the good news to all who needed it. Just have a look at verse 31. Jesus answered them, this is the Pharisees who'd asked why they were there eating and drinking with sinners. Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, Jesus sees Levi and he says, follow me. And Levi does just that. He then throws this lavish dinner for Jesus and his friends. The Pharisees are getting really hung up about good religious people hanging around with sinners and tax collectors. And they ask the disciples, why? What's going on? You shouldn't associate with these sorts of people, with sinners. Jesus should be spending time with us, with good people like us, implying that they themselves were righteous. And what's Jesus' answer to the Pharisees? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I wonder what the Pharisees thought at this point. Is Jesus trying to be funny? What's he talking about? Imagine if I was a doctor in this town and I said, right, who do I need to see today? Sam, he's very healthy and tall. I'll see him and then I'll go and see Chris. He's never crook. You know, who else is really healthy? That's ridiculous, isn't it? Doctors go to sick people, people who need healing. Jesus is giving the Pharisees a really strong message that he is different from them. Pharisees only want to be with and help people who are already like them, righteous by their own standards. Jesus, the doctor, has come for the sick, for people who need him. And it's very sad that the Pharisees didn't realize that they also had this need. They were actually sick and needed just the doctor just as much as the people they regarded as sinners. Jesus goes on and says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I think the Pharisees probably liked that bit because they thought they were righteous. So they didn't need what Jesus was bringing. And the tax collectors, they were definitely sinners. And that's what Jesus seemed to be calling them. And obviously, righteous people like us, the Pharisees would have thought, don't need to repent. But there is slightly more to this story. Levi, this man we're talking about, this tax collector, actually wrote his own version of these events. And we can read about them in the Gospel of Matthew, because Levi and Matthew are the same person. And in Matthew 9, verse 13, Levi remembers Jesus saying one more thing to the Pharisees who are condemning him and his guests. He remembers Jesus saying, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He tells the Pharisees that I desire compassion, not sacrifice. He's actually quoting the Old Testament, Hosea 6, verse 6. And the Pharisees would have known this. They thought they were righteous, or they thought righteousness was about rituals, rules, ceremonies, self-righteous sacrifices like fasting. Jesus here reminds them that at heart, being a right and godly man is not about ceremony. It's not about rules. It's actually about compassion. And Jesus says that the compassion God wants is one that will care for others, just like Jesus had done for Levi. And this compassion includes sinners, Gentiles. For us, the lost. Now, this was something the Pharisees just wouldn't do because they thought they were being holy by only associating with righteous people. And they wouldn't mix with sinners. And yet here, Jesus is doing exactly that. And he's saying that that's why he came. That his mission was to call sinners because he was compassionate rather than condemning. What's our reaction when we meet someone who holds a view or lives a lifestyle that's different from our Christian worldview or morals? Do you condemn them or do you have compassion on them? Can you condemn someone and then tell them the gospel? Caring about a person and maybe even explaining why you do will make sharing what Jesus has done for you a whole lot easier. We are not called to judge or condemn the lost. We are called to love them, to show compassion and to help them hear and see the gospel at work in our own lives. The poor Pharisees thought that to be holy, they needed to remain separate from sinners, to refuse to have any contact with them. Yet here we have Jesus. Jesus was holiness in human form. And yet he walked, he talked, he touched, he healed sinners, he ate with them, he spent time with them. And was his holiness diminished by his contact with sinners? Absolutely not. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. He lived amongst us on this earth with people just like us, sinners. And Jesus was comfortable with them, and they were comfortable with him. I think Jesus shows us two really important principles in this story. We are told to make disciples of all nations, and if we are going to do that here in Margate, then we shouldn't waste time and energy condemning or moralising or even legislating to try and somehow push people toward heaven. It doesn't work. What we need to do is have and show compassion. We need to love and care for people, and we must have contact with them. Contact in such a way that we become comfortable with them and they are comfortable with us. And we should be able to do that in a way without conforming to their worldly ways. And that's what Jesus did and what he calls us to do. You can't share the gospel with someone if you don't care about them and have no contact with them. Well, let me finish up. Jesus had been sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God and to call sinners to repentance. He came to offer grace, to show love and compassion. And we see a beautiful example of this here in Luke's account. Jesus saw Levi. He had compassion on him and he said, "Follow me. Be my disciple." Jesus didn't see Levi and shun him. He didn't ignore him. He didn't condemn him because of his status or class or the clothes he wore or the job he did. He didn't reject Levi because he wasn't good enough or he was less righteous than himself. And you know what? He's done exactly the same for us. While we were still dead in our sin, Christ died for us. We've seen here today that we are to have compassion for the lost. And again, this is not just a theoretical idea or concept. No, compassion is something that stirs your will, that you feel in your gut. It drives you to action. Jesus saw Levi and he didn't just go, "Oh, poor guy, I hope someone helps him." No, he had compassion on him and he did something for him. He called him and he told him about the kingdom of God. He had compassion for the lost. And he had contact with the lost. And I think what we need most today is the courage to do exactly the same. Jesus came to bring the good news to everyone who needs it. And the reality is, we all do. Every one of us is a sinner just like Levi. Each one of us needs the doctor. We are the sick. We are the ones he came to help. So let's never fall into the same trap as the Pharisees and imagine that by keeping rules and rituals, by ticking boxes, whatever that might look like in your life, that you're somehow contributing to your own salvation. If we do that, we're actually saying no to God. We're saying, "Go away, Jesus. I'm okay. I'm healthy. I don't need you. I don't need saving." Hopefully, we are like Levi, who knew that he needed Jesus. And I think the big question to ask, for each of us to ask ourselves is, Will we, like Levi, be prepared to leave everything and follow him, if that's what he asks? Are there things in your life that you just don't want to put aside for Jesus? We do need to be wholehearted about following him, being prepared to give up anything or even everything to follow him. And in the end, that is the choice, that is the course of action that will actually give us everything we need, an eternity in joyful celebration with Christ and each other. Amen.